public session, and therefore, which I didn't do, I remind you to speak into microphones because the meeting is broadcast. I would welcome the observers, and we will move to the first item on the agenda, which is the report of the IASB chair, and I give the floor to Hans Hogeboom.
Thank you, Michel. I submitted a written report to the trustees, and I would like to give you some extra flavor and extra information as an appendix to this report. I would like to talk a little bit about the progress on the four big convergence projects, and then I would like to talk a little bit about the consultation for the future agenda of the IASB. As you can see in the report that I have submitted, you can see that the four big convergence standards, revenue recognition, financial instruments, leases and insurance, that there have been delays here and there. These delays are partly caused by the fact that, and some trustees will remember that, that some of our stakeholders present in the monitoring board asked us to slow down in the spring of 2011, since they were of the opinion that we were working at a neck-breaking speed and that our stakeholders had a big problem trying to catch up with us. So they asked us, please take your time and start working at a lower pace. And so we did. Delays have also occurred because I think the time frame that we were working with was simply not realistic. Looking back on last year, it would have been next to impossible to finish the standards by the end of 2011, let alone mid-2011, as was originally the idea. And then it's also often the complication of the convergence projects is that we are working with two boards, two staffs, and it is simply, in reality, not always easy to align the staffs, to align the boards. I always say jokingly, if I would split my board in half, I would probably get two kinds of decisions on every standard. These are independent-minded professionals. It's very easy to disagree on something as judgmental as accounting. So working with two boards and two staffs is simply very, very difficult. The interesting thing is that both Leslie Seidman, my colleague of the FASB, and myself, during a big conference of the AICPA in Washington last year, we both announced the same thing, which was that convergence, when these four standards are done, will be over. It is not a stable way of working in the long term. Then we have to start working in a new way. So the perspective is very clearly that convergence is coming to an end. Of course, then we first have to clean our agenda, and that's what we are doing now. But it is important to realize that irrespective of any American decision, irrespective of a decision of the SEC, there is a clear ending point towards the convergence projects on which we have been working, I think, more than a decade. Standard on which we have reached most progress is revenue recognition, a completely converged standard. The comment period on the exposure, the final exposure draft, closed mid-March. We are having outreach meetings next week. We will discuss with certain industries, such as the telecom industries. There are still a couple of issues to be discussed again, perhaps to be resolved. But I'm very optimistic that we will be able to bring this standard to a speedy end, and that we will, at the end of this year, will have revenue recognition standards, which is completely converged, which is not a mean feat, given the fact that it is the top line of the income statement. Very important. Financial instruments. We have we are working on a couple of issues there. You know that over the last 2 years, the boards sort of diverged on a couple of issues, also on the under the a huge pressure, among which political pressure that the boards were put under as a result of the financial crisis. We are now trying to come closer again, and I think we are making progress there. We have reached agreement on the main principles for the new impairment part of our standard. We are moving from an incurred loss model to an expected loss model. We might have some differences in the more detailed level of guidance. We are going to discuss this next week. It is important to know that if we cannot agree completely on this, we will just have to decide to move on, because we've been working for a very long time on this. This was, if accounting failed during the financial crisis, I don't think it failed on many issues, but the fact that the incurred loss model encouraged banks to take their losses too late was definitely a weakness in our standards. So we really have to move on, and we have to get this finished. So we will try to get as converged as possible, but it is possible that we are not getting completely converged. We do think it should be possible to have our proposals out for comments in the second half of 2012. Then we are also working very hard on classification and measurement. You know that we have that the ISB has decided to open up IFRS 9 in a very limited fashion for two reasons. First, to try to get a bit closer to the FASB, to US GAAP, and secondly, to create some more room for maneuver around the insurance standard. I won't get into the technical details, but those were the two main motivations. Here, I think there is a good possibility that we will indeed come closer to the proposals of the FESB. As you know, in IFRS 9, we only had two categories for financial instruments, amortized cost and fair value, and the FESB had a third category, financial fair value through OCI for debt securities. And we are seeing, we are trying to decide whether we can create also a third category, although we will probably keep it more limited than the present proposals of the FESB. So if we can get completely converged there, here, I don't know, but we will probably end up much closer together than we are at present, and I think that the markets will like that. So we hope to finish our deliberations on this issue in the next couple of months, and also have proposals in the second half of 2012. Then you know that we have already finished our deliberations on general hedge accounting. This was a sole ISB project. The review draft will be issued very shortly, and it will be out for comments on for sort of fatal flaw comments for 90 days, and then we will finalize this part of our financial instrument standards later this year. On insurance, the two boards, this was not part of the convergence MOU. It is a non-MOU project. Nevertheless, since it's such an important standard, we have decided to work together as closely as possible, but we are in different stages. We have already issued an exposure draft. The FASB has only issued a discussion paper, so we are in different points in time. We have reached on many issues common decisions, but there are also issues where we have not reached common decisions. It's what we have decided to do is to work on our own exposure drafts. We will most likely have to issue a second exposure draft. We haven't decided yet, but given the decisions that we have made, that will most probably be the case. So we will each work with our own documents. We will try to get as close together, but we'll not. It's most likely that we will not end up completely converged. Very important for us, for the IFRS family, that we get this standard done. The insurance industry is begging us, and also investors are begging us to get this done, because we don't have a standard for now. The industry is working with a multitude of non-GAAP measures, so there's a huge lack of comparability, and not only investors are suffering from that, also the industry itself is suffering from that, because they have a lack of credibility on the capital markets and they pay too high a price for capital. So we have to get this done, and we are doing our utmost to get an exposure draft out. And the fact, even if we don't get completely converged with U.S. GAAP, the fact that we will have a standard in itself is a major feat of convergence. And I also believe that the philosophy between the two proposals on high principles will be very, very similar. So I think it would be a huge step forward. And if we would try to come to complete convergence on this issue, especially the American insurance industry would really like that to happen, but it would take probably another 5 to 10 years, given the glacial speed at which we are moving. Finally, the standard that I am actually most worried about is leases. We have already done a lot of work. We have reached many common conclusions with the FASB. But it is a very unpopular standard, because leasing is one of the ways of off-balance sheet financing, of which a lot of companies are extremely fond, and they simply, many companies simply do not like to get leases on the balance sheet. It changes the balance sheet, makes it more transparent what kind of liabilities they are carrying. I said we have reached a lot of common conclusions, but there are some devils in the detail. And one of those details is how to expense the assets that lessees will carry on their balance sheet as a result of what we call the right of use assets as a result of engaging in leasing. The traditional way of doing that would lead to a front loading of interest payments in the beginning of the contract, whereas the reality of cash flows is that it is straight line cash flows usually. So the companies and also a lot of users do not like the traditional method of treating the asset as a near purchase. Now, we have been looking at a lot of ways to find ways of expending these assets that come to a straighter line in the income statement. But these are all very complicated or don't fit well with the way that we used to do things. And so we're really struggling with it, and there is a divergence between the inklings of the FASB and our tendencies, for as far as they are clear to ourselves yet. We are now engaging in new outreach efforts around a couple of alternatives. I think we are now offering 4 alternatives to the market. I am sure that if you give so many alternatives, views will be very divided. So ultimately, we will have to make a decision. And I really hope that we can make a decision which will not jeopardize the standard as a whole. I'm truly worried about that. The fact that there is a beginning of a divide between the FASB and the ISB, all the people that don't like this standard are smelling opportunities to sink the ship, and so this will necessitate us to fare a very careful course in which we probably might have to find a solution which not everybody finds easy to take.
Have I said diplomatically enough?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, but I would find that if we don't get this done, it would be really bad for our credibility. And we need to get these assets and liabilities on the balance sheet, if only to honor David Tweedy, who wanted to travel in an airplane that was on the balance sheet of an airline company. Then, finally, some words on the future agenda. The board decided to ask our constituents very open questions. What do you want? What do you want us to do or not to do? It was in my first month of being a chairman that we had to put out this agenda consultation. My instinct was that we would have to put out some sort of a straw man agenda to give people something concrete to shoot at. The board didn't like that idea, and I was fortunate enough to listen to the board, and so we decided to come up with very open questions. And the remarkable thing is that around the world, people gave us very similar advice, and that there was a lot of consensus. First of all, everybody wishes us a period of calm. People need to recover from all the changes as a result of adoption and as a result of new standards, which have caused preparers a tremendous amount of work. And they are telling us, listen, the quality of your standards is okay, perhaps not perfect, but we can do with it. And please don't overwhelm us with new changes again and again. So please don't work too hard. And of course, that is news that was very welcome to us. However, I do not believe that we will get to this period of calm, because people are also asking us to do a lot of homework. And the main themes that people have asked us to delve into is, first of all, finish the new version of the conceptual framework, the main principles behind our underneath our work. The existing conceptual framework, the part that has been revised, I think it is really high quality, is really enjoyable to read, very clear. However, they stopped when it got really difficult and when they had to address questions which are the essence of accounting and where it gets really difficult measurement. We don't have clear answers there, and people want us to work on that. They also want us to work on OCI, other comprehensive income. The name itself indicates that it doesn't have a clear meaning, and people want us to give it a clear meaning and a clear definition of what goes in and if it goes out, when it goes out. Very closely related to the work on the conceptual framework. It's also a question of what is the best measurement indicator, performance indicator. Very important work, and I'm actually really looking forward to engaging in this issue because it is important, intellectually challenging, and will bring up a lot of interesting questions. Everybody is expecting us to take about 10 years for finishing the conceptual framework, given the fact that in itself it should not be much longer than 20, 30 pages. Is that correct, Stephen? Well, I think we should be able to do at least 5 to 10 pages a year, and I think we should have the ambition to finish this work in the next, let me say, by the end of Ian and my first term. It is essentially a matter of organizing the work well, getting the right questions asked, and taking a couple of courageous decisions. Because the fact why it takes a long time is because often it is very difficult, either intellectually or politically, to answer the questions. So I would really like to put a very strict time limit on it. The fact that apparently a four-year time limit is already considered ambitious indicates that we should be able to do something about the speed with which we work. The fact that we are going to do this work as IASB and not as a convergence project should also enable us to do it much quicker than in a situation where you naturally have to confer with another board and another staff. Then third big theme that has been addressed by people is to do something about disclosures. Many people have the feeling that that investors and users of financial statements, that it's very difficult for them to see the woods for the trees. There are so many disclosure requirements that are so voluminous and so lengthy that it is often the question whether it is an efficient way of presenting information. We have discussed this issue at length also in the Advisory Council, where we actually really had a very positive and constructive meeting on this issue. A lot of work has already been done by some national standard setters, and everybody agrees that this will be a very difficult task and that there are no easy answers in the sense of let's just cut out 25 to 50% of disclosures and then everybody is happy. Why not? Because all these disclosure requirements were invented, or most of them were invented for a good reason, in themselves always make a lot of sense, and investors do not like information to be taken away. And our sense is that what we probably have to do is to create a framework which gives preparers and auditors and also regulators a much closer, a much clearer sense of what is material. Is it material for a big bank with a huge balance sheet of financial instruments that they have to provide a lot of disclosures on their inventory or on their the depreciation of their furniture? Probably not. But now they do it. So this is the kind of guidance that we would be looking for. Will not be an easy task, but also something that we would like to set our teeth in. And then finally, there was still a considerable list of proposals for new standards, agriculture, rate regulation, inflation accounting, foreign currency, business combinations, just to mention a few, and there were at least five more. And I think what we have to do is at least look at some quick wins where we can improve some standards, such as, for example, agriculture, which don't affect the whole world, which will not put the whole world upside down, but which are very important to certain parts of the world where they really want to change. And if we can do it quickly, that would also be a big gain. So we have to be very careful there, make very careful choices. But aside of these grand themes, which will take a lot of research and preparation. We will probably try to push some of these more concrete projects on the agenda as quickly as possible. I've talked longer than I thought I would.
No. I think it was most interesting. Thank you very much, Hans. I suppose there are questions to you on this item. Chadu.
I have a very brief question to Hans. When do you expect the effective date of the new standard in leasing?
Just Hans, with any new proposals for leasing, for example, we still have yet to get the revised exposure draft out. And it's our policy normally not to even give in much of a signal for what the expected effective date will be. What we do try to do is to give enough information in there about lead time, and that we always try to give enough lead time to, A, have companies be in a position to prepare, and so we need to signal that in our exposure draft. And the second thing is that we need to make sure the jurisdictions have got enough time as well. So our policy has generally been to be 12 to 18 months at minimum after we complete a standard that allows jurisdictions to put it in place. But for some standards, depending on the transition, it may be that we need to give them, companies in particular, longer to prepare for that. So we have to make that assessment or judgment later on. So, but essentially, you know, we're talking 12 to 18 months, and probably 18 months minimum after finalisation, but more depending on what happens with the feedback we receive and the information we have about transition.
And Alan, to put it into context, the next step is an exposure draft, and that's this year sometime. Then we have to get responses. There'll be a reasonably long response time, I think, for the exposure draft. So you're looking well into 2013 before the standard is finalised, I would think.
Yeah.
And then you need transition time after that.
The exposure draft won't be ready until at least, we think, the end of this year, so that's 2012, four-month comment period. And normally it's about at least a year after exposure draft is out before we're in a position to finalise. So we are talking well into 2014, probably, 13.
Yes.
Scotty, then.
I just wanted to clarify a comment that you made about the insurance standard. Because without clarifying it, I might not be able to land at JFK when I go back. You mentioned that there was a great need for this insurance standard and that there was a lot of pressure, sort of universal pressure from investors for this insurance standard. That's, of course, very true outside of North America, but in North America it's very, very controversial. You all have, of course, received a lot of feedback from investors as well as preparers in North America, and you're including that into your consideration.
Absolutely, but I have to be clear though that although it is the wish of many American of the American industry that we go on and on and on converging until we are completely converged, no matter how much time it takes, that we will not do.
Okay. Bob?
Thank you, Chairman. Hans, you said as regards the MOU projects, you're going to move forward through them, and you'll either get to convergence on them or you won't. How will that become evident to the world of how you're doing on the individual ones?
Simply by following the meetings. We have an important board meeting next week, for example, about the question which debt securities would qualify for amortized cost. I expect us to take a decision there. It's still possible that we will end up completely converged, but given the staff recommendations, I would find that not likely. What I do find likely is that we get closer. And that will be a very clear outcome, I think, for the people who follow our work.
I think you, Bob. I mean, all our deliberations are public. And we do get a following. It's amazing. I can't believe that people actually sit in on the meetings, you know, the whole We do reports immediately after the meetings on the decisions or tentative decisions that have been made. And if we do separate exposure drafts, which we're looking at on quite a number of the issues, in those exposure drafts, I think both boards will set out both sides of the argument and ask constituents what they think. So the document itself will outline the differences as well.
Can I ask a question? You didn't mention consolidation, and it was something which was an issue for Europeans, and I understand that you made some progress with regard to transition, so maybe you could give us a few information on that.
I'll ask Alan to take care of that.
Okay. We had a suite of standards that we finalized last year, and the effective date for us is 1 January 2013. Technically, IFRS is 10, 11, 12, the three standards. They essentially deal with consolidation and what control actually means, and so which companies that you would have to control consolidate. The second one deals with things called joint arrangements or how joint ventures or other partnerships that you have like that are accounted for. And the third was particularly important, IFRS 12, because it was in response specifically to the financial crisis on disclosure. And they all related because it was about IFRS 12 on disclosure is mainly about information about entities that you don't control but might have had a relationship with, so structured entities or SPEs, as we used to call them, special purpose entities. We finalised that package, I think, in April last year or thereabouts, and it's been through an endorsement process. And two things have happened, three related, I guess. One is there was some uncertainty by some about the transitional requirements, so we're asked to clarify the transition for the consolidation standard. We have an exposure draft we've just received all the comments for. We expect to discuss that, I think, this coming week at the board meeting. And that we think it's a fairly simple clarification that it wasn't as onerous as some people actually thought. But in conjunction with that, we've had some difficulty with Europe and EFRAG in particular. And the most recent decision of EFRAG, their endorsement recommendation, is that the suite of standards be endorsed, but with an effective date of 1 January 2014, but with early adoption. So in a sense, any entity that takes advantage of that delay has a technical carve-out in Europe. And so that we have been asked by some companies, for example, to consider delaying the whole package and then aligning ourselves again with Europe. And I think our response to that so far, and we have discussed this in public sessions, is that it's a complete package. It's an important package because it's a response to the framework, to the financial crisis, and particularly improves the disclosures around these difficult structures that were often seen as being at the heart of the crisis. And also importantly is that it's already been adopted and used in some jurisdictions, certainly outside of Europe, through Asia Oceania, through South America, and for us to simply at this late stage go in and think about deferring would be inappropriate for those entities. And not only that, we'd actually have to expose it. I know the DPOC would say probably 90 to 120 days. And because of the complexity of this question, 120 days, we just create uncertainty in the market. So I think at this stage, the board's decision so far have been to basically sit with that. It's been a drawn-out process in a sense where this is the most extensive effect analysis we've ever done for standards. So it's been a little frustrating, I think, from our perspective at times because we have tried very, very hard to make sure that as part of the processes for helping jurisdictions adopt, they have as much information available about the likely effects of the standards, and we've had an extensive consultation as well. But you know, just pure information, there is some uncertainty, I guess, in Europe about the effective date because of this. It still needs to go through a parliamentary process in Europe as well.
Thank you, Alan. Any other questions on Comms report? Yes, please. I have to. Okay, Clemens.
I mean, it would be for some firms would be very, very difficult if the European standard or the European requirement and the global requirement are different, and this particularly for the ones who are also listed in the U.S. And this is clearly something which needs to be which needs to be avoided.
The Europeans would allow early application, and so it would actually allow any U.S. registrant to adopt and meet both Europe and international requirements. So that's why we're reasonably comfortable with what's well, we're not comfortable with what's happening, but we don't necessarily think we need to take any steps.
Sometimes there are possible carve-outs which are not used. Pedro.
Just a question on impairment. I think we all agree of the importance of trying hard to have a convergent solution. And in fact, 1 year ago, we have been told in a meeting such as this, the public meeting, that there was a joint exposure draft between our ASB and FASB, which has been discussed. On the basis of this discussion, my understanding is that we do intend to have a joint draft re-exposed in the second half of 2012. Are we working on that, and what are the prospects of fulfilling this deadline, so to speak, or commitment?
Although I'm not convinced that the wordings of our draft will be completely converged. There might be some small differences, but the main principles will be the same.
Okay, thank you. Are you comfortable with this presentation of where we are from a standard setting point of view? So, thank you, Hans. We will now move to the next